Colossians chapter 3. Today, God willing, Creek Don't Rise. We want to do the whole chapter because there's such a neat continual thought here in chapter 3 of Colossians. And so let's begin by reading the first four verses. And this has to do with our eternity. This has to do with where Pastor Chuck is now and Brother Marvin and so many others. Now it says that if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Now, the Greek language here for the word risen is a co-thing, a together thing, that as Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, so will he bring others, you and I. He's the firstborn among many brothers, to rise with him. And so it speaks of a co-happening here. And so if then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We are hidden inside of Jesus Christ. And so we look to him, and we set our affection upon him, the things of him, and the things that are in heaven. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. And so praise God for that. We'll stand before him, and it will be glorious, as Pastor Chuck said, because we'll appear with him in glory. We are actually told in Romans 8:17 that we are heirs. We are going to have an inheritance in Jesus Christ for eternity. In fact, Revelation 21:4-5 there says that we will inherit all things. All things. And you can think of the universe that God has spoken into existence. And you know, if God wanted to, he could speak many more universes into existence because his word is so powerful. And we are heirs of God and joint heirs. We get to that co-thing, the co-resurrection, and joint heirs with Christ. We will be inheriting eternity and things of eternity. Now, it's just like if a rich man died and he left a lot of money to this heir and that heir, this brother and that sister, this family member, it's the same thing, except it's eternal things and things that we can't even imagine. I remember my English teacher in college said that if he could choose anybody could be in history, he'd want to be the son of a rich landholder in California, when California still belonged to Spain. Because, man, those guys were like Don Diego, man, you know, Zorro. and just very rich people. They owned acres and acres and acres and miles of land all along the coast here. And to be the son of a rich landholder. Well, you know what? Guess what? We are sons and daughters of the living God who owns a cattle on a thousand hills. And acres and miles of the most blessed land we'll ever see. And so it's just the truth of it. And we're told, actually, from Peter, in 1 Peter 1, 4 and 5, it says that we will receive an inheritance incorruptible that will never be destroyed and undefiled. Revelation 21, last verse, tells us that that nothing that makes an abomination or tells a lie will walk on the highway of God. And so when we see him, we'll be like him and we'll have that perfection in our lives and be able to walk on God's highway and receive an inheritance undefiled with any kind of sin at all, because Jesus took care of all the sin on the cross. And as we accept him and love him, we move into this wonderful inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not ever fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. That's how we're kept. God is able to keep the feet of his saints. We're kept by the power of God. I'm so thankful. It's not my power that keeps me, but it's the power of God that keeps me through faith in Christ. And looking to him. Did you know that the Indians were first here in America? And it's because they had reservations. That's a joke. Boy, I didn't tell it right because you guys aren't laughing. You're going, ah. I'm sorry to bring you pain. But the point is, we have reservations in heaven, right? That's right. And when we get to the pearly gates and looking for us to be received, we're going to be received as we know Him and we're trusting Him by faith. And those reservations, it's reserved in heaven for you. Now, for this reason, we lay up our treasures in heaven. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And every act and everything that we do in the name of the Lord is a treasure in heaven. And He treasures that. And that becomes part of our inheritance as we are together with Him. And in fact, the people that Paul ministered to, he called them his joy and his crown. And we receive crowns of righteousness that fade not away when we get to heaven. And so laying up those treasures in heaven. And of course, I think of Pastor Chuck and just how he actually preached last Sunday. Come on. He actually preached at his church last Sunday. And this Tuesday, he was on the radio to Pastor's Perspective. He was in his bed, but he did his radio show from bed. And answer questions. Sherry was really blessed with the answers he brought. He's still sharp as a tack, and just bringing the answers of the Lord. He, you know, was breathing heavy and all, but still was there, and he ministered. He was always abounding in the work of the Lord. What an example to us! Because then he passed away just 2 days later on Thursday at 3 a.m, and he died in his sleep. And what a great way to really go to be with God is in your sleep. And just a blessing. You know, and something happened this week concerning Brother Marvin. Of course, Marvin's from heaven, but he's still working from heaven. What a blessing to hear about this. Our son Josh just got back from Haiti. And you know how much Marvin was into Haiti. You remember? He went to Haiti about 9 times. He just loved Pastor Marcel and his wife, Nicole. He loved the ministry in Haiti. He has in his office, and we still see it in his office he used to be in, Haiti for Jesus Christ, still up there on the wall. You know, we've been taking a lot of things down. His family came and got a lot of things. But I just thought it was unique and a blessing that it's, you know, Haiti's still up there. You know, man, he was into Haiti. But 7 years ago, a group of college students, seniors in the Bible school, came here to our church to hear us tell about our church and what we do here, and then give them a tour of our church and then have lunch with us in the fellowship hall. And Marvin led this one group in which Pastor Brian was in. I call him Pastor Brian because he's a pastor now. But he was from the Bible college at that time. And Brother Marvin looked at him and said, "So what are you going to do when you get out of school this year?" And he says, "You know what? My heart's with the missions. I want to be a missionary." And Brother Marvin said, "So where are you going to go?" And he says, "You know, I just don't know yet. I haven't got a call from God." And Brother Marvin looked him in the eye. I can picture it. And he just said, "Come with me to Haiti." And that statement stuck in this young man's heart. "Come with me to Haiti." And so here he is, 5 years later, which is 2 years ago, he was called to Haiti by the Lord through that statement that Marvin had made. And he has established a church in Haiti, and he actually lives there. He doesn't come back. He lives there. That's his whole life now, to be called to Haiti. And so my son Josh goes over there to minister with Pastor Brian. They met at the pastor's conference, and they didn't know much about each other. But Josh lands in Haiti, and he's with Pastor Brian. They're sitting down at the table. And he says, "So Josh, where were you raised?" "In church, Calvary Chapel, Anaheim. I was a youth pastor there for 8 years." He says, "Do you know Marvin?" "Yes, I know Marvin." And it just hit me how God set that up. I mean, that was the biggest divine appointment. And so then Pastor Brian shares all these things with Josh that I'm sharing with you right now. And so I'm picturing, you know, Brother Marvin in heaven, and the fruit goes on, and the fruit goes on, you know, as Brother Marvin is probably hobnobbing with the Lord about, "Hey, you know, Brian was moved by you all these years ago to go to Haiti, and I guarantee you, Marvin's still interested in Haiti, even though he's in heaven, you know, loving Haiti and praying for them. Jesus Christ, our Savior, ever lives to make intercession for us. Yes, He does. And I can just picture intercession happening in heaven and Marvin praying for Haiti still. And so just this idea that the connection was made between Josh, you know, our beloved Josh that worked here with the guy that was called through Marvin's saying, and just the connections of heaven, the things that God does and the fruit that's bared. Beautiful. Treasures in heaven. So we want to store treasures in heaven. Now, the Bible says this. Jesus said this from the Sermon on the Mount also. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. And remember the command we were giving. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. If I begin to store treasures in heaven, like our brother Alberto is doing over here in the neighborhoods, storing treasures in heaven, that is where his heart is going to be. And so his affection will naturally be heaven bound. I know I'm heaven bound and toward heaven as our lives are hid in Christ. And the affection then will very naturally be there. So what a blessing. Now at this time, from chapter 3 of Colossians, I'm going to read you three lists of things. These are do's and don'ts. Things that come out of a life that's put off the worldly things and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first list begins at verse 5. And we're going to do something with these lists after we read through them. But let's read through them. Now, verse 5 of chapter 3 of Colossians says, mortify, put to death, therefore, your members, which means the different parts of your body, which are upon the earth, fornication, which is sex outside of marriage, uncleanness, inordinate affection, and evil concupiscence, which is a $64,000 King James word. Now, I'm just going to give you very simply what these four words mean. They mean don't get involved physically in sexual sin, and don't think about it. The evil, it talks here, some of those words are talking about the mind, the uncleanness, the inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, talking about the mind. And so that's very true, we know, because what did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? If you lust after somebody, it's the same as committing adultery with them, because the lust is there in the mind and the heart, and so the sin is there also. Now, I'll read these words to you in the NIV translation, which makes more sense to us than these King James words. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust. And so we just mentioned that. Evil desires. And so these four things. And so on the list. Now, the next thing on the list is greed or covetousness. It says in the King James translation, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And other and translated in the NIV, greed. And so as we are wanting our neighbor's Corvette, and we're looking at that in such a way that we're jealous, we want that thing, we're coveting it. And of course, one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's anything. And so that's greed in my heart. And so the Lord wants to deal with that and remove that. This is a bad thing to have in our hearts, is the greed, because it's idol worship, which is, it says there in the scripture, idolatry. And so a very bad thing to be walking in. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. So the wrath of God waiting to judge the children of disobedience, and all of these things we just listed in this list, that's what they do. And that's what they put on TV, and that's what they talk about and advertise and flaunt and put forward, those things. So the wrath of God will eventually come upon, you see, those that are involved with these things and continue to be. Now, in which you also walk sometime, so many of us saved out of these things, when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these. Put them off. Now this Greek word, and I'm going to try to pronounce it for you. It's where is it? There it is. Abbat, Heth, Ami. It's a very long word. And it's like one act, an act of putting off these things. It's like taking off a garment, is what the Greek scholars say about it. It's like taking off a piece of clothes. So like if you had an old coat with holes in it and dirty and ugly, and you just want to take that coat off before you go outside. The Lord is saying, this is what you do with this list. You just take it off. Take it off. Remove it. And put off these things. And then another list begins. It says anger. Of course, we know that you should never do anything in anger. It always turns out wrong. You say things you don't mean, and later you have to apologize for them if you go with the anger. Thomas Jefferson said, if you're mad, count to 10. If you're really mad, count to 100. So anger, wrath, the wrath of man, where it's not the righteousness of God. Malice, which means evil intent. Blasphemy, which is slander. And that's the way it's translated in the modern translation, slander. Blasphemy is slander against God. When we start putting the Lord down and making fun of him and saying bad things about the Lord, that is blasphemy. Slander is simply saying things bad about your fellow human beings. There's magazines dedicated to this, as you know, at the check stands at Ralph's and Vaughn's and wherever you shop. I think it's called Slander. No, they're not truthful. They call it the Inquirer, I think. Anyway, the thing is there's a lot of slander out there, and these things are not of God. And then it lists filthy communication out of your mouth. The filthy communication that comes out with the dirty jokes, with the filthy talking, the cuss words. None of this is of God, and I think we know that in our hearts as we know the Lord. Verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off, there's that word put off again, the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man. Put on the new man. And that also is from the Greek, like putting on a garment. So we put off the old man and his deeds, and put on the new man with his deeds. And so there it is. Now, we want to move to our next list. That's the first list. The next list has to do with things God wants to see in your life, which come out of the new man as you put on the new man. And so we read in verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Now, the bowels are talking about internal organs. So in the other translation, putting on the heart of compassion, that's also speaking about the internal organ of the heart. Really talking about the seat of the emotions. That I'm going to have an emotional experience of compassion when I'm confronted with, in a situation that I can help with. I'm just going to feel the Lord's heart. And it, of course, talks about Jesus a lot this way, that he had compassion on the multitudes, and he had them sit down by 50s on the grass, and he fed them. And our brother Alberto, as he takes the food out to the people, having compassion on the people. So we put on bowels of mercy, heart of compassion from the seat of our emotions. Kindness, humbleness of mind, that we need to move in humbleness rather than pride. Meekness, which can also be translated gentleness. When Sherry and I were married about 5 years, we had some marriage problems, and God spoke to me and said, Mark, you need to be gentle with Sherry, gentle. And I went and told her what God said to me. I said, I think the Lord said to me to be gentle with you. And she started crying because that's what she needed, and she knew it. And she was so blessed that God was able to get through to me, able to speak to me about it. Gentleness is so important to a woman. Men are turned on by sight with women. They look at the lady and they are excited looking at the lady. But women get excited with gentleness and kindness and respect, and listening to them and taking care of them emotionally. That is what turns a lady on. So men, just to let you know about that, you need to calm down and be gentle and kind. And so the kindness and the gentleness mentioned. Then patience is next, long-suffering or patience. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, you also forgive. Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And above all these things, put on love. Now abide faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love, because God is love. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness or perfection. I want to be a mature Christian. I want to be continuing on the road to perfection, being daily conformed to His image. The bond of perfection or perfectness is love. That's what it is. Now, let's just look at the final list then I wanted to show you from Colossians 3, starting in verse 18. This is not a popular thought among the general tribes of the universe. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. You know, you can play with that word. You can look it up in the Greek. You can turn it on its side to anything you want to do to try to change it. But it's not going to change because that's what God says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, as long as something is not going against the Lord God Almighty, the thing to make a happy wife is to be a submissive wife to the husband, reverencing him, respecting him, respecting his decisions. And that is what will make a happy wife. Now, if it's not in the Lord, and I'm going to give you a real experience. This one sister came to me and said that, you know, her husband would make her drive the getaway car while he stole surfboards. Now, is she to submit to that? No. That's going against God. We must obey God rather than man. So you just look him in the eye and say, no, I'm not driving the getaway car while you steal surfboards. And that's what she did. Praise God. But as a general rule, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Oh, that is just will kill a wife. I mean, just she's so dependent emotionally upon you. You know, I was sharing with you, that's what attracts women to men. They're gentle and kind. And when they first date you, they really are. But later they get hardened and start pushing you around. And so husbands got to pray to stay in that gentle place and be returned to that gentle place as God did with me and has continued to work on me about that. So the thing is that love your wives and don't allow any bitterness to develop in your heart against her. You have to be on her side and give her the unconditional love that only God can give and share your heart with her that way. And she's going to bloom under your ministry. Men get their strokes at work. Women get their strokes from their husbands. And even if they work, it's the way God made them. It's the way God made women. They need love. Pure, unadulterated, wonderful, flowing, kind, gentle love. That's what makes a woman happy. And you can do that. You can bring flowers and chocolate, but most of all, bring love. That's what the Bible says. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Fathers, you can provoke your children to anger. You can provoke them by taking out on them your bad day. Fathers are said, according to the flesh, it says in Hebrews 12, they discipline us after their own pleasure, their own pleasure. And sometimes they're not pleased. Had a bad day, the boss was beating up on them at work, and they come home and beat up on the kids and the dog and the cat and the wife. Don't do it. Steer clear of it. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. They become angry children, all pent up inside and ready to explode. And they get to be teenagers and they explode. So don't provoke them to anger, lest they be discouraged. And so many children become discouraged and angry. And many of them are teenagers to move on to suicide because of that. They're just discouraged. They're beaten down. And it's just a terrible thing. So something on our list. Now, servants or employees, obey in all things your employers according to the flesh. Not with eye service. Like when the boss is looking, I'm really going to be a good worker to try to get a raise next time because the boss is looking. As man pleasers, don't do it just with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, respecting the Lord. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He never goes to lunch. So he's always watching you. And so we respect that. We respect the eyes of the Lord. Be careful, little feet, what you do, because the Father up above is looking down in love. And so we're careful, and we respect him, and we serve the Lord. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, because not to men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, which takes us back to what we began with, that we're going to receive an inheritance. And we're to set our affections on the things above. Knowing that we will receive a reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. For he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. And there's no respect of persons. You can be saved for 40 years and be a great Bible teacher or a great helper in the church. But if you do something wrong, you're going to receive for that wrong. There's no respect of persons. It doesn't matter who you are. And, you know, the thing is this. Judgment begins with the house of God. And if it begin with us, what shall become of the unbeliever and the ungodly? Well, they go to hell. And so, you know, I'd rather be disciplined now. I'd rather be caught now and changed now than later when it's too late, standing before the great white throne judgment and the books are open and you're cast into the lake of fire forever and ever in a day where there's torment and burning forever. And that's going to happen to some folks. Kind of reminds me of a commercial I saw years ago about you better come in and get your oil changed because later your engine will burn up and it'll cost you $3,000. So you might as well get your oil changed for $50. Pay me now or pay me later was what they said in the commercial. Pay me now or pay me later. And so I'd rather pay up now, wouldn't you? Hey, man, let's pay up now. Get our oil changed. Let God change your oil, oh yeah, and conform you each day to his image. And then when it comes time to stand before the judgment seat, you see, we're in the book of life. And Jesus has washed away our sins. And we go on into heaven where others have to face the music. So we need to feel sorry for them. We need to witness to them. We need to share Jesus' heart with them so they can get saved and get their oil changed. Amen?
Amen.
So just put that together. There you are. There it is, three lists. Now, as we read through these lists, especially today, because we did it quickly, but you might have been convicted about something we read on those lists, and you might be thinking about that. But as you read those lists all together, it's kind of overwhelming, isn't it? It's kind of a big thing to look at and wonder about. Well, I'll tell you, Benjamin Franklin had a big problem with the lists. Benjamin Franklin, who is he? He's one of our founding fathers. He was in Philadelphia at the seat of the first government in this nation. He was very, very intelligent, probably a genius. He's the one that started the fire department. He also invented streetlights. He worked on inventing electricity. You all know the story about him flying a kite with some metal on it. And then lightning hit the kite, and he got a shock. And it's a good thing he didn't die that day because electricity can really get you. But, you know, he was really, really something. After last service, a postman came up to me and said, did you know that Benjamin Franklin started the post office? And his systems are still used today in what the post office is doing. That's why they're so slow. No. Joke. Scratch that off. Anyway, But Ben Franklin's stuff is still in use today in the post office. So anyway, Ben Franklin came up with 13 virtues. 13 virtues that he felt that he needed to live right. Sherry and I read his autobiography. Thing is that he was frustrated with his 13 virtues because he'd be working on one or two really hard to keep these virtues, and the rest of them would go out the window. And so then he would work on another two, and then he was having a hard time keeping up with the first two. And so it was very frustrating for him. And you can imagine how that is. And, you know, as I read through these three lists, you might have been frustrated many times with struggling against some of these things and trying to make them work. And if you do it in the flesh, if you do it just with your own efforts, then it's not going to work. And it becomes just a frustrating deal. And so, you know, the Lord God has made it so that we just have to look at one thing instead of a whole list of things. Just one thing. And really, it's just one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 10 of this chapter and get these release scriptures from the Lord and in the Lord. Now it says that we are to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So the one that created man in his image, the Lord God Almighty. And we are told very clearly in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, that we are being conformed to his image, Jesus Christ's image. And another verse tells us that it's a daily work. So God is busy transforming you by the renewing of your mind as you present your body to him into the image of Jesus Christ. And the scripture tells us that we are to put on, same Greek word as put on the new man, it's right here, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And we're also told in Ephesians 4:24, put on the new man, who after God is created in righteousness, Jesus is full of righteousness and true holiness. And so we put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And then if you look over in verse 15 with me, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And where does peace come from? Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, I give it to you. And so you let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ, oh Christ, come live with me and bring your word to my heart. Receiving the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him. And so the beauty of our one person, Jesus Christ, coming into our lives and transforming us and working to bring us into his image. Now, this helps us to understand two scriptures that I want to give you right now to end the sermon today, in the scriptures that are sometimes hard to completely take in. But let's do it. Galatians 5:22. And I just mean understanding-wise, you know. But let's look at Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22 is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, as we are involved with the Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Jesus, come into my life. the second person of the Godhead is Jesus, the third is the Spirit, the first is the Father, the three are one. And so they come and they make their dwelling with us. And so as I look to Christ and I accept Christ, I'm receiving the touch of the Holy Spirit of God. And the fruit of that, the fruit of that, the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's love above all. Take love upon you. That was in the list, wasn't it? Oh yeah, it was in the list that we read, the list. And so as I'm involved with the Spirit of God, the fruit of just being involved with Him, I'm going to have the love. And the love is described. It says joy and peace. Long-suffering. Oh, that's patience. That was in the list. Oh yeah, that was in the list. Gentleness. The gentleness I need for Sherry. That was in the list. Oh yeah, that was in the list in Colossians. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. That was in the list. Meekness was in the list. It was in the list. But you know, the fruit of just being in love with the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ is meekness. Temperance. Oh, self-control. That would include the first four sexual things. Self-control. There it is. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's being involved with one person, the Lord Jesus, and His lovely Spirit. It's the fruit of it. Against such, there is no law. Now that clause, used to have trouble with that. What does that mean, there is no law against these things? What it means is what we've seen in Colossians 3. That's what it means. Here's the list that ought to be in your life to be a new man in Jesus. But it's wrapped up in the fruit of the Spirit of God. Against these things, there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So my affection begins to be transferred from my lusts to those things that are above, not the things on the earth. And so we have this beautiful laying out of the fruit, which is the stuff that's in the list, of just being involved with Jesus and His Spirit and walking with Him. As many as are led by the Spirit are the children of God. It takes care of all these 13 things from Benjamin Franklin. Or all the things that we read in Colossians. God, by His Spirit, is working out of your life and reminding you and helping you along the way. Now, Jesus said it in a slightly different way, but it all means the same thing. And let's end with that scripture, John 15, 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 5. Now in John 15, we're pretty much familiar with this, is that Jesus is talking about a grapevine and talking about the Father and Himself and just in a parable using the grapevine. And He says in 15:5 of John, I am the vine. He's the one that's planted in the earth. And He's getting nutrients and nitrates that He needs from the soil, topsoil, coming up, nourishing the vine. You Christians, are the branches. So we're branching out from the vine where all the nutrients are. And as long as we're attached and abiding there in the vine, we're getting nourished and changed and rearranged and blessed by God through Christ. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides or remains in me and I in him, the same brings forth the list. Much fruit, lot of fruit, lot of love, lot of joy, lot of peace, lot of self-control, lot of patience, lot of gentleness, lot of the stuff that we know that we're not good at. But if I'm abiding in Jesus, I'm going to bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And so, may I say this then, I don't know whether Ben Franklin was saved or not. There's some bad things we read about in history about him. So you go, I don't think he was saved. And then others will say, oh, I think he was saved. He was real close to George Whitefield, who was the great preacher of the day. Him and Ben Franklin were kind of friendly and on talking terms. And you think, wow, just by association, he's probably saved. You can't get very close to George Whitefield without being saved. We don't know. But we do know that he was frustrated with his 13 virtues try, because he wasn't having much success. And may I say this to you, that if Ben Franklin concentrated more on one person, Jesus Christ, than on the 13 things on his list, he would have had more success. The more you concentrate on the Lord Jesus Christ and fall in love with him every day and ask him to show you the way and keep you, the lists will fall in place, because you're on his conveyor belt and you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you, and this is a big if, you must abide, remain in Christ. If a branch is broken off from the vine, it dries up and it's good for nothing but firewood. You know what that's talking about. And so we're there with him. We just simply abide in him, concentrating on the lover of our souls and looking for him to help us. Every time we feel a temptation against one, something on the list, against something that God wants from us or doesn't want from us, if we cry out to the Lord, Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. You will be helped mightily, powerfully, wonderfully, and you will be in that consistent, beautiful transformation that God's making to bring you safely to heaven. We are kept by the power of God. That's what we read today. So let's pray, and then we'll have the band come out. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for these Bible truths, Lord. We thank you, Father, that, yes, Lord, that sometimes we might feel like Ben Franklin. We're human. All things are common to man. We're just trying to do this and that and the other thing and get it right and get it straight and pining over this and pining over that. And, Lord, we just need to look back in your face. Jesus, help us, Lord. Lord, just correct the mistakes, make the mountains and the valleys, however that goes, Lord, you know the scripture. So, Father, we just pray, Lord God, that you would do that fine work in each one of our lives. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would like prayer for anything today, Robert is opening the door for you. You can go into the prayer room and receive prayer. May the Lord bless you. God just help you and lead you. And just remember Jesus. Just remember him. Look to him. Ask him for help. He will help you. I forget if I shared this at this service or the last service. I'll share it really quick again. When Sherry and I first went to the classes, did I share this about marriage? And they told me that I'm the head of the house and that I need to love my wife and guide the be the priest of the household. And that she was told to submit to me and so forth. And so we went home, fresh teaching, never heard it before, blown away, you know. And so I got out a spiritual whip and started to whip my wife around. You know, I'm the man of the house. I wear the pants, man, yeah. And she, you know, said, I'm submissive. I see I'm very submissive. You know, and then she told me later she was thinking some different thoughts, but she was, I'm submissive. And after 6 months of that, I said, you know what? I just love you. And I love Jesus Christ. And she said, yeah, and I just love you. And I threw that spiritual whip down. I said, Jesus, you got to do this. And then it started coming together. It comes together when you stop all the business of, you know, I'm going to do this. No, forget it. Go to Jesus. Without him, you can do nothing. And then the Lord works. And he makes all things beautiful in his time. He does a great job. So God bless you and keep you and lead you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.